This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Your guess is as good as mine. Coming up our categories today, we have world languages and the worst drivers on the roadway, according to insurance. But first, time for a few emails to the men's room at KISW.com.
You've got mail. You've got mail.
Birthday time. Ola Bachola's doing my first self-birthday shout-out today. Been a fan since I moved here from Texas 2 years ago and have needed more humor in my day. So can I please get a Leroy Jenkins? And could you guys talk all over yourselves about how much heat in Texas is miserable compared to Washington? Much love, guys. That from Monty.
Let's do this. Leroy!
Man, I got my heat in Houston. I'm going to tell you this right now. The heat in Texas is compared to hell. The devil himself would not go to Texas during the summer because it is absolutely ridiculous. Sweaters because you're awake, man.
It is hot. Guys, I just wanted to send a shout-out birthday wishes to my husband, Scott, who is a loving, supportive, funny, and just all-around amazing person. My life would be boring without you. We just traveled to Springfield, Oregon to get this awesome tattoo done by Chris 51 of Area 51 Tattoo Shops. Respectfully, that from Monica. Dealer's choice there, Mike, on whatever you want to give to the hubby there, Chris. Hello, guys. It is my husband Nathan's birthday. Could you please hit him with a suck it up cupcake and the dirty Germans talking about the benefits of turning 35? Thanks, guys. That from Holly.
So, suck it up, cupcake!
Yeah, first of all, I've never met an ugly Holly, so good for you already. But you want this suck it up cupcake, maybe you find Holly's cupcake and you suck it up.
Yeah, so I wonder if she sticks to us sing about her name. It's a bush,
yeah.
Holly.
Two birds.
Two birds in the holly bush.
Well, but both of them are swallows, so it's okay.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Today I completed my 38th revolution around the giant star we call the sun. I don't like sticking with the status quo, so instead, I just request that Mike Hawk drop some random fart sounds into the segment. Thanks for all you do and the hard work every day. Warp on, Ted. That from Kelly the Man.
Get it this summer, Kelly.
I'm on it.
What was that one?
Dog.
What was that?
That's a dog.
That's a dog.
I don't remember that.
I think this is the one that's got like the Orbeez.
Oh.
Yeah, this dog is not doing well.
Yeah, he was actually pooping out the Orbeez.
Yeah.
And Ola Bachola's, it is my favorite person's 50th birthday today. Can Justin get the dirty Germans talking about all the adventures yet to come? You guys are the best. Lots of love that from his wife, Good Time Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny, I do not know why you call his penis Aussie Good Times, but whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, what's crazy is that somebody, it was a magical penis to settle down old Good Times Jenny.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time we had with her?
Oh, my God, it was a good time.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
is not a liar.
Yeah, so I'll never watch a World Cup final the same way.
Yeah, Jenny, if it makes you feel better, they've painted over your number in the bathroom stall.
Good time, Jenny.
Good time, Jenny.
All right, guys, here you go. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaza Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefly.
Let's get a contestant live for your guess is as good as mine now, 206-803-ROCK. Couple of extra emails. What did I steal is the title. Pacholas, what did I steal? Well, that would be porn. Good old classic Playboys. I was probably 13 years old when I discovered my stepfather's stash of Playboys and felt the urge to take some for myself. My genius, underdeveloped brain, decided to pull a swap and replace the Playboys I had taken with copies of My Country Living. And oh boy, did that fail miserably.
Yeah.
I sincerely thought my plan would work, but it didn't because it was a stupid plan. But one we can all laugh at now 20 years later. Rock on, guys. Thanks for keeping us all somewhat sane.
I picture Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, he's got a... He's replacing the idol with a bag of sand.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, there's my dad's Playboys. Here's a... Country Living, grab the Playboys.
It'd been better just to take the damn thing.
Honest to God, I know,
but kids are just stupid.
They are.
I mean, look, I guarantee you all four of us did it at some point. I wasn't terrible at it, but... Yeah, you think it's so slick, and then as an adult, like, why?
Why did I ever think
that would work?
Like, he's counting his magazines every week, like, all right, just make sure everybody's here.
Yeah, your dad, like, no dad is going to go to their teenage boy and be like, hey. Like, you know what I mean? Until he forced the fact.
Right.
So it's like, you think dad's not looking at him? He's looking at him.
And he's not mad at you because you're looking at Playboy. He's mad at you because you tried to fool
him.
All
in chronological order. Yeah. I mean, they're done by the month. I mean, if you collect Playboy magazine.
It's like National Geographic and Playboy. They are in the exact order that they were released.
Yeah. I've never seen anybody who had a subscription keep them any other way.
No.
Honest to God.
I'm with you. I have a buddy, and it, like, we used to joke about it, but when he collected them. And you're right. I mean, he had bookshelves of years, and they're all in chronological order.
Yeah. Don't mess with it.
And you can see the history, start to finish. There's all kinds of different things that happen with it. For some reason, man, the bras back in the 60s and early 70s, they formed like kind of torpedo-shaped breasts. Based on that, that was it. That, based on the way they were manufactured, the wiring and everything else. I don't know. That was specific.
But I feel like even when they took the bras off and you got the topless picture, like the late 60s Playboys, their boobs are still in the shape of a torpedo.
They are.
I've never met a woman with torpedo boobs.
But for whatever reason, and then this all, everything.
You're not living, man.
Everything kind of evolved.
Yeah, I think I have.
Really?
Yeah.
But when I was a little kid, that's all I knew boobs to be, right? Because the only topless pictures I saw were Playboy. Well, there's that National Geographic. That's an entirely different thing. But those were what I call the diving penguins, if you will. But it was all torpedo boobs.
Yeah.
And then when I actually saw boobs, you know, for the first time, I'm like, you look nothing like the Playboy.
Those Sears bras had like 8 clamps on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these things were like five inches thick in the back as far as just the bracing to put the thing together to hold those things in there. Wild. Let's see, one more email. Technology you hate. All of you sexy dragons, catching up on the previous shows on the Odyssey app. And I'm in earlier January. And you covered some reasons why old people refuse to use or adapt to new technologies. And I'd like to weigh in. I'm not old, I'm 25 years old. But I absolutely hate modern technology, especially smart technology. And to emphasize my point, here are a few examples. I have yet to use a PC operating system newer than Windows XP. I reserve my phone for only texting, calling, and taking pictures in the rare moments I don't have a proper camera with me. And just listening to a few podcasts. I've always used and continue to use the following. Cassette tapes and recorders. VHS, DVDs, tape-based camcorders, etc. I have never streamed a movie, TV show, or music. I like my AM, FM, shortwave, etc. radios. I refuse to own any smart tech like appliances. They're a stupid concept to begin with. I... I don't use social media and quit all of it back in 2018. Basically, I'm a 25-year-old living in the 1970s. And not because it's trendy, but because that's how I was raised. I don't need all this new smart technology that we keep getting bombarded with constantly. And frankly, when I do come across those who have over-embraced this smart tech and the world, they take it to extreme levels. I immediately throw their mental acuity and intelligence into question. Cheers, bitches, and rock on. That from Alex the Furry. All right, I think it's time for a little Your Guess is as Good as Mine. It's an easy game to play. We get a contestant on the line. You pick from one of two categories and see if you can get as many right in said category before three strikes and you're out. Do we just lose our contestant?
We did. Andre dropped off the line.
Okay. I guess it's up to you guys to play Your Guess is as Good as Mine. So our categories. We have the worst drivers in the world and the most popular languages in the world. And as far as worst drivers, I misspoke. It is the worst drivers here in the United States. So today...
So are we guessing cities or make?
The make of cars.
The make of cars, correct. So they say if you spend enough time driving, it's easy to start forming opinions about drivers based solely on what they're driving. A new report analyzed actual data from insurance companies and accident reports to come up with a very definitive list of the best and worst drivers by vehicle brand. So we have the top 10 worst drivers on the road based on the brand of car they drive. And then we have the 10 most popular spoken languages in the world. So do you guys want to go, you want to go languages or do you want to go cars?
What do you think?
I feel like languages would be more challenging.
You want to go languages?
Let's try it.
All right.
You want to go languages? All right. They say there are over 7,000 languages spoken around the world. To be exact, 7,164. But almost half of the world's countries have one of just 10 as their official language. So Babbel looked at how many native speakers there are for each one. So just people from the places where it's the official language. So we have for you the 10 most popular languages spoken in the world. They also have the 10 most popular native speakers, native speaking languages, but also the total number of different languages that are spoken everywhere.
Okay. All right.
All right. So for an example, there's plenty of people that can speak Chinese in the United States. That's just not the most popular language, obviously, but there are popular languages that, from a number standpoint, do add up. For example, around the world, English is the number one spoken language in various countries.
Sure.
So if you look at the percentage, even if it's just 5%, English does show up more so in different countries than any other. It's spoken by over 1.5 billion people. Then it's Mandarin, Hindi, Spanish, Arabic, and French. So we have, according to the survey, the top 10 most spoken languages in the world. What is your guys' first guess?
So, English.
Mm-hmm.
English is only third. English has 380 million people that speak the language.
All right. I would go French.
You would go French. Not in the list.
Wow.
All right. I would go Chinese, Cantonese, or Mandarin.
Chinese is number one. 1.3 billion native speakers. Just saying Chinese lumps a bunch of other dialects together, but around 900 million do speak Mandarin. To give you
I would have
idea.
Thought French would have been in there just because of all the lands they used to occupy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. How about Spanish?
Spanish is number two. 486 million. It is the official language in Spain, Mexico, and most of South America.
Yep. Indian?
Indian.
Or is it Punjab? I'm not sure what they...
Hindi. 345 million people speak Hindi. It is the most spoken language in India.
What number was that?
That was number five.
All right. So Germany has to be up there because there's so many other places that speak it too.
Right.
But it's not the most populated areas. It's
not.
Europe.
But keep in mind, Germany used to be the second most spoken language in the U.S. up until Spanish took over.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not a bad call.
The 1940s had something to do with it. But
I'll give you guys a hint. If Spanish is number one in the countries in South America.
Mm-hmm.
The number two spoken language shows up there as well.
I would imagine Portuguese.
236 million people speak Portuguese. It's the national language of Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most populated country
which,
in South
which number
America.
Was that there, Miles?
That was number seven. Arabic. That is number four. 362 million people speak Arabic. So far you're correct on Portuguese at 7, Hindi at 5, Arabic at 4, English 3, Spanish 2, and Chinese 1. There are 4 other popular languages around the world that you guys need to get. You've only got 1 strike, so you have 2 strikes left.
You think Russian's on there?
Russian or Italian might be on there.
Well, because even Japanese.
Because there's Russia, but then Russia has all the satellite country names.
Right, right? They do, but I think that a lot of them still speak Russian. Like, that's what I'm saying. Getting always had to be like, I'm Ukrainian, not Russian, but I do speak Russian.
Right. Okay. You guys want to go with the Russian then?
I agree with you, Steve.
Yeah, let's go Russian.
Russia is number 8, Russian. As in the dressing, 148 million people speak Russian. Does anyone buy Russian dressing?
If you can find it.
It's not bad.
I think it's delicious. When it shows up. Rarely see it.
Yeah. You got to hunt for it.
You do. Mm-hmm. Like, and like I don't eat salad, but it's like a good marinade. It's just a good dipping sauce.
Yeah. Well, I've had cannellina or something?
Catalina.
Catalina. Oh, yeah. There's a deli in Baltimore that specializes in Reubens, and their secret, supposedly, is that they put Russian dressing on their Reuben instead of Thousand Island.
Correct. That's how I first had them back east.
Yeah.
All right. We're kicking around Italian, but we're only speaking Italian outside of Italy, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, do we go for landmass and go like Swahili?
By the way, India's got 2 more languages.
India's got
We kind of forgot about Africa.
Right?
If India has 2 more languages, one of those might be in there.
You got to remember, though, Africa does not have a universal language.
Right.
I mean, there are 150 languages in Africa.
There's a million different dialects.
Like, basically, in the town where my daughter lives, there are 3 languages that are spoken there.
Jeez,
but I'm just saying, if you go to Africa, though, a lot of Africans can speak multiple languages.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They speak French. They'll speak English. They'll speak, like you said, Afrikaans. They will speak maybe whatever native to the area, and they'll speak something.
The guy that picked me up in the van, taking me to the airport, he's in the tourist industry. He speaks 7 languages fluently.
Sure.
He speaks another 8 just based on being able to do the best he can. But
that was crazy. When we went on the cruise, these people were not in the cruise industry. These are just people on the cruise.
Yeah.
They could all speak like 4 or 5 languages. Every single one of them. I mean, it's crazy. You feel like an idiot.
I still feel like Germany might be on there just because of other countries that also speak German in there.
There's Germany, there's Austria, like Liechtenstein, maybe?
Keep in mind, there's 2 more still in India.
What else? So we said,
what else do they speak besides Hindi?
And I would think, all right, can we just guess another Indian dialect, or we need to know the name of it?
Well, there's 2.
I don't know.
Is it Punjab?
No, it's not.
Damn it.
Yep.
Shout out to Kings 11.
Most of Bangladesh speaks this language, which, you know.
We've heard of this language, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to roll our eyes and get mad at ourselves if we don't get
it. Maybe. I'll give you a hint. Cincinnati's got a pro football team kind of close to the same thing.
Bengali.
Bengali, there you go, number 6. 237 million people speak Bengali. You got 2 left, 9 and 10.
One of them are in India.
You've already brought up one of them.
And Ted, I agree with you. I think you're right with the Germanic.
Yeah.
You want to go German?
German.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah!
So I'm not making any more calls.
Go
two
east, go east
have,
my friends.
Go east, he says.
So Japanese, Korean.
I like Japanese because I feel like a lot of people speak Japanese. Maybe not officially, but I feel like it's a language that kind of...
What do they speak in, like, Indonesia?
I don't know. Is it Indonesian? Is it Japanese? Is it Korean? Is it Chinese? And yes, we know there's a difference between Cantonese and Mandarin. We understand that. The way they qualified the list, they just grouped it in as Chinese.
Yeah.
Because Indonesia's massive.
It is.
And population
almost cut. There's an S ton of people. I think it's the most densely populated country on this planet, actually. Do they speak Indonesian?
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if that's so.
Can you give us a hint of the Indian one, Miles?
It's mostly spoken in India and Pakistan with 118 million people.
Damn.
I should know this. I mean, I was watching cricket Saturday night.
From India. So were we.
My bad, dude.
Family was gathered around.
Come on, there too, don't act like you're the only one.
We all have the Willow Network?
Yes. It's not a lot on these days, sports-wise.
Not at night.
All right, let's revisit that one.
Yep.
Are we thinking Japanese? Are we thinking...
I'm going to let you make this call, man.
It's going to be Korean or Japanese is my guess.
I don't feel like we brought up Korean, though. I think I know I
you
said
guys
Japanese.
Two strikes.
Right, we're at 2 strikes on this thing.
That's the problem. We need to know what the primary language in Indonesia is, right?
Right.
I don't think you do. This is spoken in India and Pakistan.
How about the other one that we're missing? Can you say where it's spoken?
It's a very highly populated Asian country.
So I don't think it's Indonesian.
No, I don't think he's. I think he's trying to steer us away from Indonesia.
Okay, highly populated. We covered China. There's Japan.
I'm going to say Japanese.
All right, Japanese.
That's number 9.
Dang.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys got 9 of 10. There's one left. You'll never get it.
Any clues on how to say?
I will serve
Farsi.
I will serve as a man on air if you guys get this.
Is it Farsi?
Which you make for some great radio.
Yes, it will.
Farsi? Nope. That's not.
God.
It.
It's Londa.
Londa.
I was never heard of that.
She served me drinks last week.
And Pakistan, 118 million people. So, the most part.
It was more challenging.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Most spoken languages in the world. At number 10, Londa. Japanese at 9. 8 is Russian. 7, Portuguese. Bengali, 6. Hindi, 5. 4 is Arabic. 3, English. 2, Spanish. And the number 1 most spoken language in the world with 1.3 billion native speakers would be Chinese. All right, count to 508. We will drink a toast with the shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room. Count to 508. We'll drink a toast with the shot of the day. And we do have your headlines on the way of 550. But first, quick check on Mike Hawk and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. New research says taking a short break from your smartphone could improve your mood.
Yeah, it will.
Do you get a weekly screen update on your phone?
No, I don't. I don't need to look at that crap.
They send me one every Sunday. I don't think I asked for it. It's like a push notification.
Oh,
you
yeah.
spent way too much time on this thing this week.
You've increased your usage.
Well, it tells you, right? It just says it's either up or down.
Right.
And how much time you spent on it.
Really?
Yeah. You have an iPhone. You probably get one.
I might. I don't know, man.
And the problem is...
I'm with Miles. I never set it to do it. It just shows up every Sunday.
Cool. Right. And all it does is just ruin your day when you've, you know, regressed. At some point, you're going to. You know, all right, I'm going to really focus on using my phone less. Well, unless you continue to use your phone less, at one point it's going to say, you know, you used your phone 30 seconds longer this week.
Right.
All right, leave me alone.
Mine always goes down on vacation.
Good.
Yeah,
half the time, right, I'm looking at stuff like, are we going to talk about it? Are we not going to talk about it? You got to know what's going on. It's like on vacation. It's like, I don't talk about it. I'm not looking it up.
That's right. I just want to know where I need to go and how to get there.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, if I'm on vacation, about all I'm looking at my phone for is sports updates.
There you go.
What time of games kick?
Right.
For me, I'm just grabbing the Google Maps. If we find some place that we want to go that we're walking to, I just need to know how to get there, and then bam, I'm good to go.
I don't know that I even use my phone on vacation.
Well, no, you got kids.
I got kids. If I need something technologically savvy, I ask them.
There you go.
And the rest, I'm on vacation. I do not care.
Yep.
Bad news for everyone that had money on Earth being destroyed by the YR-4 asteroid. Its likelihood of impact has dropped to 0.
Oh, man.
Okay.
What a week.
But they've also said that that could change as well.
Of course. It will. Count on it.
I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster with these updates, Mike.
It really is, man.
It's 2%. Now it's 0. Like... Miles and I were packing all our gear up last Sunday. I guess we don't have to now, Miles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Went on your anarchy spree over the weekend.
Yeah, had them down at the Emporium, buying guns, you know, all there the stuff. Go.
Shooting heroin.
Man. Burning cars.
We thought it was over.
You guys all remember the fire
festival? Kind of weird you ate that dog, Miles.
Delicious.
You guys remember the fire festival?
Yeah.
The one that never happened.
Yeah. Is it fry or fire?
Fire.
Okay, well. It is spelt weird.
Yeah, it's F-Y-R-E. But get ready. Fire Festival 2.
How can you call it 2 when there wasn't 1?
That's kind of where I'm at.
And why would you keep the same name?
Right.
Sometimes you got to rebrand. Amway figured it out.
Right.
Yeah, you're right.
The festival, don't call it negative that. Connotation. The you typically shake that off and
don't call
start it
that.
Over again.
Right. The festival that was the subject of 2 documentaries. Right, because it never happened.
Right.
What do you mean 2?
Yeah, we're going to do it again.
New reports say the top 10% of earners in the country are responsible for half of all the spending in the economy.
Because they have money.
Because they got all the got money.
Yeah. That's how that works.
Right. If you don't have money, you don't get to spend.
We get it.
Right.
Being in that lower 90%, like, oh, no, we understand.
Right. I'm not fueling the economy. I'm paying my bills.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'm padding other people's pockets.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, you guys all knew this, but it's Twin Peaks Day.
Oh, really?
It is?
It is.
Huh, I thought it was another day.
No, man, that's why I see the picture of the kids in their Twin Peaks sweaters. Kind of like Christmas. We save it for Twin Peaks Day.
Sure.
Now, is that Roslyn? Where are that, the bar? Was that part of that? Am I losing my mind?
I mean, Twin Peaks are all over the place.
Well, I mean, as far as, I thought you meant like the TV show.
Oh, God.
Well, there's that famous, like, what's it, Tweed's Cafe was used in the opening.
Okay.
Right.
But it wasn't filmed there. Also, there's Twin Peaks down in Tukwila.
Strip club?
Yes,
strip club?
No.
Oh.
Oh. It's a restaurant.
Well, yeah. You got real excited.
Okay, I just thought the name.
Well, it's kind of, it's sort of like a Hooters.
Yeah, it's a restaurant to be excited about.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah.
And actually, Miles, Twin Peaks was filmed right here. Snoqualmie.
It was filmed in Snoqualmie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right.
Also, North Bend and Fall City.
Right, so that's why that famous restaurant.
Yeah, we've eaten at the diner a couple times.
Nice. I've never eaten there.
Really?
I always go to North Bend Bar and Grill.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go. There's a growing trend of older Americans living without disabilities.
Good.
That is fantastic.
They did a study over, 11 years, 07 to 18, something like that. And
okay.
And it went from 60% of them are living without disabilities all the way up to, 64%. So it's not exactly an astounding amount, but it's an upward trend.
But it's good.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you this, Mike. At the Walmart where my mom lives in West Virginia, all right, now, granted, they were just under 5 feet of water, so I don't think they're open anymore.
Jeez.
But the mobility scooter area is 4 lanes deep, all right? So you get a push cart, there's maybe half of the carts as there are mobility scooters with baskets.
I can believe that.
It looks like a parking lot.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're one of the few people walking in there. I think people just get on them and ride around because the store is so big.
Man.
I don't know if they really have a disability or not, but they love those things, man. It's like getting on the horse out front when you were a kid for a quarter.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, okay, I can take this for a ride.
I ended up around somebody who is, in my perception, fairly new to the mobility scooter game. It was an older gentleman, and, the wife and I were at the mall down there in South Center, and we're trying to pick up some lunch, or some dinner, rather. And so they got these little kiosks that you go and you type in what it is, the order that you want to do. This guy was ahead of us in line, and he just kind of starts floating into the frame, as it were, up to both of these kiosks. And I don't know which one he's going for, but he's not really committing to one or the other.
Right.
But pick a lane, dude.
Exactly. But if he's going to the one I'm going for, he's blocking the other one, so I don't know what's going on here. Finally, we get it all figured out. I order my stuff, and I go over there and wait. He's taken twice as long as I have to order. He comes over next to me and just waits for two people to pick up their order, and then just drives up to the pickup counter and waits, waiting for my food. And you're blocking everybody else
right
as they get their order ahead of you, dude. So, good work on that one. 20% of Americans think smartphones should be banned in schools.
It's up to the school.
Yeah. I would think it's up to the individual teacher. Some would let you chew gum in class. Some would not.
It's right. I get it. In kids, sometimes too, kids have smartphones that just allow them to call certain people. But it does. If I was a teacher, I'd just be like, don't have it out in class.
Yeah, put them away.
I would use it as an incentive. Look, if we can finish this and get this lecture over with, and there's 10, 15 minutes left in the classroom, I will give you 10, 15 minutes on your phone. If we pay attention, we work hard through the class.
Sure.
And just reward it that way.
Right.
And then you can do whatever you want. I don't care. We're done.
And I don't think that there's anybody in the working world that doesn't use their phone.
There's not. I mean, it's just part. It's a staple of everyday life.
Exactly.
For better or worse, that's the reality.
Right. I would imagine that the number of people that use your phone, at least during the working day, is more than those that don't. So find a way to incorporate it differently, or find a way, like Miles is saying, find a healthier way to, let's just put it down for now. I get it. We're all addicted to these things, and you're on Facebook or you're on Instagram and Snapchat, whatever the hell that you're doing. But let's be productive about this for a minute. Use it if you need it, 100%. That's
sure,
your calculator right there.
Whatever, yeah.
Right, everything that it's the information superhighway, so it's not like you need to remember anything anymore. So make it healthier, I guess I'm saying. Canada's trying to produce the next big soft drink, maple water.
Okay.
All right.
That's basically what it is. It's basically the same process that they use to harvest maple syrup. They're collecting the sap, but they can also turn it into a soft drink.
I mean, it's no different than half the crap we drink anyway.
Yeah. Other than it's a little bit more natural.
I mean, the name doesn't sound great, but otherwise, okay.
All right. Hey, but you know what? If they can corner this one, go for it.
Right. I saw something the other day that, Coca-Cola is, the number one soda in, basically, every country you can imagine.
Yeah.
Except Scotland.
Really?
Scotland has their own soda.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Herbron or something. Ah, they love it.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go. The Merriam-Webster word of the day. Quip.
Quip.
Oh,
you hear it on occasion. But
been a handful of clever quips on this show.
Yeah,
you don't have a funny quip for this one?
How about this one? What do World War I, the Mexican Revolution, and the Titanic all have in common?
People died.
Oh, no. It all went down into the 1910s. And that's what our subject is today.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10.
10 chucklesome phrases from the 1910s. Allow me to demonstrate a few. The party was all the rage until Dorothy showed up with her pug ugly friend Lula. I swear that dame is a real Mrs. Grundy. A real wet blanket. wouldn't know a good time if it hit her in the face. Now, on the other hand, Trixie over there is a real Sheba. I bet she could turn me six ways from Sunday. But she wouldn't come unstrapped. She told me the bank was closed for the night. What a bunch of malarkey.
Well done.
Thank you, VD. So these are chucklesome slang terms from the 1910s. I will give you guys the slang term. Let's see if you guys know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Anybody know what up to putty means?
Up to putty.
Is that kind of like up to snuff?
Super busy?
Like says, you're not up to putty? You're not doing good enough?
It says if you fail to come home with a fresh catch for dinner, you could say that your fishing attempts were up to putty or just upter.
Okay.
Basically, it's an Australian slang for worthless or futile.
Oh, nice.
It's up to putty.
Okay.
Saltash luck.
Bad luck.
Probably saying that wrong. Any thankless or fruitless tasks that involves getting wet.
Okay. All right.
All righty. I like it.
Like, well, like washing dishes and you get something on your shirt?
Washing your horse. Doing something in the rain.
Sat by the ferry for hours and caught nothing but colds. Oh, you're going into fishing. A lot of fishing terms, apparently. Monkey parade.
Idiots.
But yeah, goofy idiots.
During the late Victorian era, the single ewes of London's East End took to strolling up and down the Bow Road in droves to mix and mingle with each other, prompting people to nickname the road Monkey's Parade.
Oh, maybe that's why they get those little shiner hats, you know.
By the early 20th century, the custom had caught on in other neighborhoods, and people had started calling any such gathering a Monkey Parade. And then British writer Edwin Pugh described the Monkey Parade in colorful detail in his 1914 story collection, The Cockney at Home. Home. The place where the elite of the beau monde of suburbia meet nightly for purposes of flirtation.
Purposes of flirtation. Boy, you made that sexy.
Didn't they, though?
Purposes of flirtation.
Cry money. How about Meller? Again, these are slang terms from the 1910s. Meller. M-E-L-L-E-R. 19th century Americans were fond of calling melodrama, Mellerdrama.
Mellerdrama. Okay.
Mellerdrama, which eventually got shortened to Meller.
Okay.
There you go.
Meller.
Lunker.
Dummy.
In today's meme speak, any animal that exceeds expectations when it comes to size, be it a bunny or a human baby, might be called an absolute unit. It's also a lunker.
Lunker.
All right. Big guy. Oh, he's a lunker.
Look at this guy.
I believe we've all heard of this one, The Life of Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody know what The Life of Riley actually means?
No.
How would you say it even in a sentence?
Living the life of Riley.
Okay.
Someone leading an untroubled, happy life in the early 20th century was said to be living the life of Riley.
Okay.
Though the surname's popularity makes it hard to pinpoint which Riley or Riley, spelled differently, inspired the expression, there are theories. One is that it came from a song written in the 1880s by an Irish vaudevillian that's called Is That Mr. Riley? And the chorus people greet Mr. Riley, a self-proclaimed man of renown.
All right.
Yeah. So it's just you're living large. You're living good. You're living the life of Riley.
The life of Riley.
Anybody heard the slang term Jake?
No.
In the 19th century, a Jake was a rustic lout or simpleton, per the OED. But by the 1910s, people had started to use the term as an adjective meaning excellent, admirable, fine. Australians and New Zealanders favored slightly jazzier spinoffs. Jake-a-loo, Jake-a-loo, and Jake-er-loo. A lot of loos in there.
Yeah. Loo makes any word funnier.
Imshi.
Imshi?
Imshi. It's derived from Arabic for go away.
Damn.
All right.
That's basically just what they would shout to get you out of there.
Wow.
Imshi. Is that hip or hype? H-I-P-E. During World War I, it wasn't uncommon for a soldier to call their rifle or gun a hype. Hip. It's been suggested that the term started out as an unspecific utterance that military leaders shouted in place of the word arms during commands.
Okay. Hype.
Oh, you know what? I like it.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How about a flivver? Anybody ever heard of a flivver?
Flivver?
Slang terms from the 1910s.
I like it.
It was used both as a noun and described a cheap car or plane and a verb that described going somewhere in a flivver. But it could also be more broadly referred to any failure, be it a thing or a person. Pretty versatile for a term whose provenance is a mystery. Hmm. Basically anything that just, it sucks. It's a junker. It's a POS.
I mean, you could use the same term. I mean, there's got to be terms we use for cars when something bad happens, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, your car can get into a wreck. If you do bad at work, you'd be like, oh, today was a train wreck.
How about a conchy? If someone's a conchy.
Sexy.
It's often derisive. It's an abbreviation for conscientious objector.
Ah, okay.
Popular in the UK during World War I, it was later used in reference to men who refused to serve in World War II as well, a conchy.
Conchy.
A conchy.
I can't imagine that was used favorably.
Not one that you would want to be called for sure. How about chucklesome?
Chucklesome. Funny.
It's extremely chucklesome that a bunch of people in Poland once mistook a croissant in a tree for a terrifying beast. All right. That's what they say there.
Such as, like, it's super funny.
Right. It's chucklesome.
I like that. It's extremely chucklesome.
It's very chucklesome. Again, chucklesome slang turns from the 1910s. Bosher.
Bosher.
Bosher. According to the Oxford English Dictionary, this novel popularized the word bosh from the Turkish for empty, worthless, among English speakers. Victorians used it as a noun or interjection meaning nonsense. Bosher, which came along later, described a person who talked bosh.
Okay. That makes sense.
Talks a bunch of bosh. About a beezer.
A beezer?
Beezer. In the 1910s.
Like an old person?
Beezer could either refer to an intelligent person or a nose.
Oh.
Look at his beezer.
Origins of both senses are unclear, but the former is believed to hail from Scotland. How about a beanball?
Is somebody fat?
This was used in sports, a beanball.
Baseball?
It was a pitch chucked straight at the batter's head.
Oh, right, because you got a bean.
Exactly.
Well, we always use that, too. It was like, if you bean somebody, you're going to throw at their head. If you plunk them, you hit them somewhere on the body.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Beaning them. Annie Oakley.
Good shot.
And Annie Oakley was a free ticket to a performance or sporting event. According to the famous sharpshooter herself, the phrase was coined by baseball player Ben Johnson. A man was brought to him one day, she recounted in a 1922 newspaper interview, who had rented out his baseball pass. Ben Johnson looked at it, filled it with neat holes, and suggested that the man had been letting me use it for a target.
Huh.
And Annie Oakley.
Okay.
And then this is the final chugglesome slang term for the 1910s. Do you guys know what an againster is?
Somebody who's just against everything.
You're a voice of opposition. You're absolutely right, Ted Smith.
Devil's advocate.
They're a hater.
A contrarian.
A contrarian. That is exactly right. An againster. That's just a lame... That's lazy. You're an againster, sir.
Come up with a better word.
Yeah, it'd be better if you're lame by a woman. You say I'm against her.
I'm against her. That's where I like to be on a Friday.
What'd you do last night?
I was against her.
Plenty of folks have stolen items from local restaurants, but one woman in the UK takes the cake for what she stole, Miles.
What did she steal?
I'll test your memory at 5:50.
Thanks, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say... Bottoms up, sailor! You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Good time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve the Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed, and today we toast news anchor Terry Yorgeri of WSAZ News Channel 3 in Charleston, West Virginia. Now, like a lot of people in broadcast media, Terry had dreams of cutting her teeth on a small market before being called up to the so-called big leagues. Well, she put in the work and was rewarded. She landed a gig at WTAE, Channel 4 in Pittsburgh, now as a true professional. She finished out her time as a field reporter in West Virginia, but 2 days, just 2 days before she packed her bags for the big city, this happened.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Tori.
Woo! We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you're sure
you
okay?
Are so sweet, and you are okay.
I am so sorry.
It is all good. You know, oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Tim wasn't much help when you watched this thing.
Are you okay?
Where's she from?
I'm guessing from Baltimore, as best we can tell.
Yeah, she's from Baltimore, because she's working...
Because of her accent. Then the got a gig in West Virginia, and it all makes sense. And then she was 2 days out from heading up to Pittsburgh to get her big break.
All right, yeah, just her accent.
Oh,
it's like she's got
it.
We said the same thing when we heard it. We were like, God, we know where she's
okay.
She really wasn't okay.
No, Tim, I'm okay.
Yeah, she really got mad. You could tell it was all adrenaline, man. She was kind of messed up. But she hung in there, man, and got her big break. But if you see the video, she's standing on the side of the road, and an SUV goes behind her, and it looks like maybe the window hits her in the back corner. But, like, she disappears off the screen, knocks the camera over. It was bad, man.
It just seems crazy you would get that close to somebody standing there.
Yeah, but like you said, this happened to me in college, too.
Yep. Which is also very odd.
Yeah, I did not expect that part. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze, because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, Majora!
All right, it's going to get tested online for Profile This Now. 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.